dropping you into a hot LZ.
Yeah.
You're flying over dense tree cover.
Right.
All along the watchtowers playing.
Yes. What do you find repulsive about 18-year-olds playing video games?
I don't know. We're in two completely different places in life.
That's true. It's true. Yeah.
So if
an 18-year-old said, oh, yes, you'd be completely...
Yeah, I'd be like, turned off.
Yeah,
like,
you're done.
I hear a 40-year-old man go, oh, yes!
Oh, yes!
Like as he's playing Yakuza 0. Makes me laugh.
Oh, it's time for the Video Destruct Podcast!
Woo!
Toss, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Today, we're going to talk about Blaster Master. That's the second week in a row that we're going to talk about the thing we said we were going to talk about, which is crazy. That's...
I can do nothing but quote one of the greatest films of our time.
Yeah?
Major League.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Where he's talking about winning games.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, we won a game yesterday. If we win a game today, that's two in a row. If we win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
It has happened before. That's a good movie, actually.
It's time for me to watch it because baseball starts in like 3 days!
It's true. Baseball is almost out. It's almost ready.
MLB The Show came out this week. I'm pulling it right around to video games.
That's true.
I haven't played
it. That's true. I haven't played it yet.
Ken Griffey Jr. is on the cover, though.
And that's okay.
I do like Ken Griffey
Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. Everybody likes Ken Griffey Jr. Even when he's had his down years, everybody's like, you know what? Still like him.
Dude, good guy. What's really great was that when he was like 41 and he had gone back to the Mariners... And, like, his last game that he ever played, he fell asleep on the bench.
Oh, right, yeah.
Here's the thing I have to say. If I'm one of his teammates, I'm like, dude, fuck it. He's the kid. He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever. Doesn't matter. He's the kid. Oh, it's funny. But yeah, class act that Ken Griffey.
Nice guy. You never heard a cross word about him.
Never. Never. No Daryl Strawberry drug addictions or anything of the sorts.
Or a Jose Canseco general assholishness.
Yeah, exactly. Just being a real piece of garbage, that guy.
Real piece of trash.
Real piece of trash, that Jose Canseco. Come on the show sometimes, Jose. We'll have you on. It'll be a good time. oh, boy. Since we're entering minor internet fame now. No. But anyway, we're going to talk about Master Blaster, but we got some other stuff to talk about because... You've been playing some games. I've been playing a few games. What have we been playing?
Fuck, I've played a lot of games.
Any news out there, actually?
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2, that's right. Destiny 2, they had their trailer out.
Yeah, they had the theatrical trailer that was released on the 28th.
Yes.
As of this recording, tomorrow is the 30th, and I believe that's when the first gameplay trailer drops.
Right.
So it's kind of a quick turnaround on there.
Right.
Nathan Fillion in that first trailer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they go back to Nathan Fillion. That's what Bungie do.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They love the...
I'll say this.
Corey Lyon from the South. Ba-da-boo! Ba-da-boo! And he literally did do ba-da-boo.
Yeah, he did. He did.
It's like he listens. That's okay.
Big fan of the show.
Big fan of the show, Nathan Fillion.
But yeah, I'll say this. I think he's fine, like, in those trailers.
Sure.
I think he's perfectly fine because that's more, like, acting.
Right.
But it's whenever they put him in a video game
right.
that, like, his delivery is way off.
The direction is off, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that he needs to see the animatic of what's happening to
right.
have the delivery go.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody ever actually gives him that.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you always end up like, I'm Nathan Fillion just standing in your living room, but everything around me is on fire.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of direction is like, okay, Nathan, in this, there are aliens bombing the planet, so maybe give a little bit of hate... credence to the idea.
Tone down on the hayseed for a minute.
Maybe a little more haste in your voice.
Yeah.
You know, something bothersome.
But that came out and the way early leak of Call of Duty seems to have happened.
Oh, wow.
They typically don't have the first trailer for Call of Duty until the NBA Finals. They usually buy a very expensive spot
during the NBA Finals to unveil their new games. I think they did that even last year, but like for a long string of years they did that. Mm-hmm. But apparently somebody found collateral for the marketing campaign for the new game,
right,
that is from Sledgehammer Games, mm, that just says Call of Duty WW2.
Huh. There you go. So going back to the WW2.
I understand people that are younger.
Yeah.
That didn't go through,
right,
the early 2000s.
Right, yeah.
When we were just inundated with World War II games constantly.
Right, yeah.
I don't think I want to go back.
Want to go back there to that? A lot of people seem to be very up on the Battlefield 1 in the World War I scenario.
Are they?
I feel like there are a lot of people that are into it.
I don't know a single person that's playing it still. I know a lot of people who bought it.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's still playing it.
Right, yeah.
I just think that everybody sat there and said, like, oh, this is different. This is different. Fuck, these guns suck. And
yeah, because they're World War One era.
I know.
That's why.
But, you know, here's the thing is that, like, I think that there's something to be said for the generational shift of technology. We're, other than Call of Duty 2, like, I don't consider Call of Duty 3 or World at War to be on the level. Those games weren't as good,
sure,
as, like, the Infinity Ward games made at that time, because those Treyarch games, until Black Ops 1, were the bottom tier ones.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's effectively been almost two generations since we've had a Call of Duty World War II game.
Yeah.
Because Call of Duty 2, the Infinity Ward made game, was a launch day game for the 360 in 2005.
That's right. That was a long time ago.
November 15th, 2005.
Yeah.
So if you got one that comes out around, say, November 15th, 2017, that's a good deal of time in between there. So there's... I'll listen to what you have to say.
Sure.
But I think that there's way more to mine in the Cold War era. I mean, really, we only got Black Ops,
right,
in the Cold War era.
Right.
And that was just Black Ops 1 that really did that. There was, like, a little bit in Black Ops 2 that was Cold War era-y. But, like, really, it's Black Ops 1 was the one that was heavily entrenched in that shit.
Right.
I think there's more there. I think there's Vietnam. I think there's Korea. I think there's other shit that we can do other than just saying, World War II, then? Like...
The Korean War? Something. Like,
you know, and I think there's a stigma,
yeah,
when it comes to specifically Vietnam.
Right.
We didn't win.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I think that it's... There's no part where your soldiers stand on a hill, yeah, holding a flag.
Well, we lost the peace. That's the problem. The last engagement of Vietnam is basically, yes, the absolute retreat of, you know... of U.S. Forces leaving people to die.
Yeah, an incredibly controversial conflict as well.
Yes.
So I think that there's no way that you can look at that and go like, America! And, you know, and shout from the rooftops about,
sure,
that.
You could make a good game of it, though. I mean...
Absolutely!
There's plenty of games that don't do that. What about that one where you firebomb an entire town? And
hang,
like,
on.
Really?
You're John Sampson.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Lieutenant in the Army Rangers.
Sure, yeah.
They're dropping you into a hot LZ.
Yeah.
You're flying over dense tree cover.
Right.
All along the watchtowers playing.
Yes, I'm down. Anyway.
Dave Matthews starts singing and you're like, what the fuck?
Or even the Hendrix version. That'd be great, too. Anyway.
No, like,
yeah,
only the Hendrix version. Not the Dave Matthews version.
But no. Yeah. It's weird because it's not like it's untread ground, the Vietnam War. I mean,
there was Battlefield Vietnam. There was Viet Cong. There was...
And movies. There's tons of movies that talk about it. You know? It's like, you could do a game of that. I agree. I think there's plenty of untouched ground... In the war, a lot of wars have been fought, okay?
And granted, this isn't always expertly dealt with in video games.
Yeah.
But the truth remains, war is dirty.
Right.
and not just the fighting, but the implications for the people who have to exist around this conflict.
Sure.
And especially the people who start this shit.
Right.
Because the people who fight this shit are not the people who started fucking anything. You know, so there's some good, with some expertly, I'll say delicate writing, I think you could have something that's good.
Yeah.
A game that in the fairly recent past did a really good job with that kind of storytelling, that if you took that, the way that it used motifs and brought this to a Vietnam era game, it would really pay heavy dividends.
Right.
Is Spec Ops The Line.
Oh, yeah?
That game is incredibly fucking dark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game where, like,
Dubai, the sandstorm. Yeah, you firebomb a town, like, and then they...
Yeah, yeah, and you watch and civilians you just, burn alive and shit. Yeah,
and it's just like, oh, I did that.
I have to live with the implications of that.
Right, I gotta live with that for now for the rest of this game. Awesome, that's sweet.
No, I'm living with that for the rest of my fucking life.
These digital people.
Jesus.
Burning in my digital hands.
Yep.
What have I done?
Why?
Why? These bits of data. Anyway.
But yeah, I don't want to belabor that too much, but yeah, apparently World War II is where we're going.
Yeah, apparently we're going back.
Activision been leaky like a sieve lately.
What if it was an alternate World War II where they had giant trench mechs?
Yep.
Be okay with that?
Yep.
Be okay with that.
Whenever they announced Battlefield 1, I kept waiting to see one of those trenches just stand up and walk away like, oh no!
Oh, it's the trench!
I've had training for this!
Iron Brigade! Here we go!
Saluted that guy!
Saluted him! Saluted that man! Anyway, go check our Iron Brigade video if you want
to know about that. I love that game.
It's a good game. Good game. One of our best organic videos we ever put up, because nobody else remembers that game, apparently.
Yep.
Us and 700 people who watched it. Anyway, yeah, moving on to what we played, I guess.
I played quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I played some more Robo Recall. I played, what's the one? Dang it. I forgot the name of the game. Forget it. Never mind.
Is it a VR game?
It's not. It's a Steam game, and I completely forgot the name of it, and now it's leaving me.
Maybe it'll come back to
you. It'll come back to me later. Yeah.
Anything else? Nothing?
No. Go ahead.
Robo Recall.
Yeah.
Still cool.
Still cool. Still a good game.
Still fucking rips.
Still a good game.
Yeah.
Man, that game's fun.
I downloaded a shitload more VR stuff that I'll probably... The way that I think I should be doing this is maybe, like, once a month on an episode, I just do a VR dump.
Yeah.
Of, like, here are the 6 VR games I bought in the last month.
Sure.
Here's what you should play, here's what you should avoid kind of stuff.
Right.
The one thing I would say is if you're somebody who has an Oculus with a touch...
Right.
The Valve Labs stuff that was Vive exclusive,
yeah,
at least an Oculus patch for it. So now you can get Tracer Core.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you can
do,
talk to those rad-ass, like, fucking Portal guys.
Nice.
And that thing's pretty fun.
Nice.
And I play a little bit of it back on a buddy's Vive, like, a year ago. But being able to, like, just spend my time with it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
But, yeah, we'll talk about VR. A couple weeks from now, I don't want to just beat people who don't care too much about the Vive every week.
Right, yeah.
We'll call
that segment VR Vomit.
That works.
VR dry heave. Anyway, cool. Anything else?
I played a shit load.
Yeah, you got that F-Zero game that we just played.
Yeah, I bought Fast RMX.
Yes.
For the Nintendo Switch. I really like that game. It's kind of a combination of, and that game's actually it's actually the second game in that series.
Right.
The original game was called Fast Racing Neo. It was on the Wii U.
Okay.
And it was pretty good there, too. But this is just kind of like that with a whole bunch more content in it for the Switch. It's the great thing about this game is that it's kind of a combination of F-Zero and Wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses a cool, like, almost Ikaruga color switch mechanic to access boost portals.
Right.
That kind of like the recharge plates from F-Zero
right.
that you drive over. Mm-hmm. But if you're not changed to the right color, not only do you not get the speed boost, but it also slows you down and damages your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly just hitting a button to swap back and forth between the colors of your ship. And it's colorblind friendly. Okay. Which is cool.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's red and orange, is that, or orange and
blue? Yeah, it's the portal colors. Yeah, yeah, whatever those colors happen to be, it's right. Those.
Yes.
Yeah. But the that game is really cool. The great thing about it is that, like, as a Switch owner who had up until that point only played 2D side scrolling games that would run well on a fucking calculator. and playing Zelda, which doesn't run very well, despite the fact that it looks awesome.
Right.
It was great to play a game that looks really, really good and runs at 60 frames per second. It still apparently runs at 60 frames even when you're playing four-player split-screen on the TV.
Oh, wow.
So for a game to be that fast, look that good, and perform that well is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I think that game's cool. It's $20.
I feel like they should have just got those guys into an F-Zero game and then just have them do that.
I think that we're probably not too far from that actually happening.
It'd be cool.
It's been a while.
It's been a bit since an F-Zero game.
Yeah, F-Zero GX on the GameCube.
Right, yeah.
And then there was also F-Zero AX, which was the arcade version.
That was the arcade version.
That you could take your GameCube memory cards to. Yeah,
that you could take the memory cards like, and stick it in. Yeah.
Mario Kart GP in the arcade.
Man, that was cool.
Yeah, NFL Blitz let you take N64 memory packs in there. In the arcade. That was fucking cool.
That's right.
And then somebody would always put fucking gum in there.
Yeah.
And that was great.
That's fun. What an asshole. Who does that?
Fucking dicks.
Oh, my God.
90s leather jacket wearing dicks. But, yes, yeah, so I played that. I also bought the Shovel Knight Treasure Trove.
Oh, yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That is, the Treasure Trove is regular Shovel Knight. It's, was the first one Plague Lord?
Plague Lord.
And then the new one is Spectre Knight.
Spectre Knight, which is Spectre of Shadows or Spectre of Torture or something. Torture of
Spectre of Torment?
Torment. Spectre of Torment. That's
which is the new expansion. Yes. The cool thing on the Switch is that because there's a very good chance, if you're a big Shovel Knight fan, that you probably already bought that game on another platform or like the 3DS or the Wii U or something like that. And for those of you who have a Switch now, they let you buy just Spectre of Torment by itself for $10.
Right.
As opposed to buying a whole collection for $25.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty nice of them.
Yeah.
Because I'm carrying my Switch around pretty regularly. I wanted to have the whole thing in, so I just bought the whole box.
Right. Yes.
But the other Switch game that I've been playing is something that we'll be talking about later, which is Blaster Master Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a good game.
We goofed around with that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But I also played some of Has-Been Heroes.
Yes. That was cool looking. You were playing that when I came in. Actually.
Yeah, that is the new Game Trust published game. Game Trust being the new GameStop initiative to publish video games. The first of which was Song of the Deep last summer.
Right.
That was made by Insomniac.
Sure.
This one seems to be, by my estimations, a better game than that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not like Song of the Deep. I found it just kind of boring and plodding. Yeah. It's like, I liked the Metroidvania structure, but just the pacing of that game was slow.
Yeah.
Because submarines are boring. But the new game is interesting. Has-Been Heroes, basically here's the framework of what the story conceit is. There was a whole group of heroes that were all in a big gang together, and they loved each other, and they were homies.
Yeah.
And then they beat all the bad guys because they were so badass.
Right.
And then there were no bad guys for a really long time.
It's like that really long D&D session you've had with your
buddy. Yeah, where it's like, oh, this guy doesn't hang out with us anymore, so he's gone.
Right.
And basically, at the beginning of the game, there's only two heroes left.
Right.
And they're really old.
Yeah.
And they've been tasked with their final journey,
okay,
which is escorting the king's two princess daughters to school. If you go to school.
I love that. That's great. It's like, to school. Like, you're like, to the Tower of Sanctum, and blah, blah, blah. No, just school. You gotta go to school, man.
But granted,
there's monsters everywhere. They can't just go to school on their own.
What's funny is that, like, the first time I said it, they're like, yeah, you gotta take them to school, and you're like, alright.
Alright,
and
sure.
Then, like, the king, like, when he's telling you about this, he's like, yeah, I really appreciate you guys coming out. School's kind of, like, a long way away. And I take it on good authority, monsters might be back. So I thought I'd call you. It's great. There's only two of you, but that seems fine. And
that's great.
They end up picking up a third person, right. And it's a person who, like, idolized the heroes and wants to be one.
That's cool.
And then I guess along the course of the game, you're going to, like, grab more heroes and
stuff
like
that. Different people to switch out.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that this game is kind of a fusion between tactics strategy games.
Right.
Japanese RPGs.
RPG, yeah.
And tower defense games like Plants vs. Zombies.
That was interesting. Like, that was the coolest thing, was that it has a setup. You kind of look like a Final Fantasy. You have your guys in a row, in like a diagonal row. But it's also, like, it's not just a turn-based, like, oh, there's a set of enemies, you kill them, they're done. No, they're actually moving along. You're actually running along this section.
You're running at them, and they're running
they're
at
running
you.
They're running at you, just like the zombies moving towards the plants, and then, or any tower defense, really, of any lanes.
And you'll have specific kinds of abilities that will knock guys back, that give you more space. The other thing is that it gets me in line more of, like, tactical strategy games, is that at any time you can hot swap people in lanes.
Right.
So I want to move the guy from the bottom lane to the top lane, and then after he attacks, pull the guy from the middle lane, swap him up to the top lane.
Right.
Because I want to do a shock back effect, then I want to do a thrust, then I want to do magic.
Right.
All in that lane.
Yeah.
But there's, at the same time, like, as of right now, I've got three people in my main squad, and then the two princesses are in the back, and I assume that they're probably going to end up being your healers.
Right.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but they're going to be your healers.
They're going to be your healers, that,
when you start thinking about, like, where are you going to put your mages in Final Fantasy, you're like, right there!
Right there, those two spots. Yeah. They're the Rydia and Rosa spots.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you put them.
But yeah, it's good, it's demanding, it's rough, it's a slippery slope, kind of wish it leaned into the comedy a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
They're doing okay. They got a great art style. Their cinematics are okay.
Right.
It's all, like, instead of being, like, fully animated or CG or anything like that, it's just really good drawn art.
Yes.
That they're, like, sliding up and then pulling more things in. There's a lot of really good, like, I hate to say rotoscope scaling, but I don't know another way to say it. Where it's like, you're going to have, one image that, like, fills your screen, then have it scaled off and sliding back, and another thing's emerging.
Right.
It's well done.
Some Mode 7.
Yeah, so, like, the wizard's in the background, he's just spinning like crazy.
Yeah, he's going. He's
And then he becomes the background, and then, like, then you're landing a parachute on him, and it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll really blow you away. but no, like, Has-Been Heroes, like, I went into this thing, like, going, but no, I seem to be having a good time. I'll play some more of it. I'm still fairly early into that thing.
That's good.
But yeah, having a good time with it. Awesome. The other thing I'll talk about is that I've been streaming myself playing Half-Life 2.
Oh, really? Okay. You just playing some Half-Life 2?
I play, like, once a year.
Yeah.
And, man, that game still fucking rips, dude.
It was, like, such a top-tier game when it came out. Like, it just...
It still looks great.
Yeah, still looks pretty good.
Still plays awesome.
Still plays great. I mean, that was one of the top-tier games ever. Which, like, makes me think, like, the Orange Box... Probably one of the best boxes, like, ever, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you would have, like, because it's got Portal. Just like, oh, we got this game that we made in our free time called Portal. Maybe you'll enjoy that. Oh, one of the biggest games ever.
Yeah, Portal, Team Fortress, Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Yeah.
All in one collection.
Yeah.
It's, up until that point, that was, with the exception of Half-Life 1 and its expansions, it was the entirety of their output.
Right.
And it's some of the best games ever made.
Yeah, it's insane.
it's a shame that, like, the console versions of Half-Life the Orange Box... never got any of the good updates for the multiplayer.
Right.
But, you know, after a year or two, they would have gave up there and continued making shit on the PC anyway. So even if they had put the first couple of expansions in, who would have gave a shit?
Yeah, it's true.
You still wouldn't care now.
You wouldn't have cared. Yeah, you wouldn't have cared anyway.
But, yeah, like...
Half-Life 2.
I still really like it. I'm probably going to end up playing through all of Half-Life 2 and then Episode 1 and Episode 2. So, nice. You know, keep an eye on our Twitch.
Twitch.
I've been playing it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Twitch, yeah.
I've been playing that in the evenings.
Yeah.
What I'll probably end up doing is, just communicating that on Twitter, like, kind of in the morning, saying, like, hey, around this time Eastern, I'll be streaming this. So,
right on.
Try to be a little bit more communicative, not just, oh, I came home from work, let's play some Half-Life. but yeah, that's where I'll stop, other than to say I beat Zelda.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna be picking that up this weekend for the Wii U.
Hopefully, you can find a copy.
Yeah,
it's sold out everywhere.
Is it everywhere?
Yes,
I saw it pretty available for.
I think Toys R Us had some the last time I was in there.
It seemed pretty available still. So for where I was checking. So
okay, good.
Yeah,
because it's
yeah.
Gone most places.
Okay. But most places I was checking, I was like, okay, still got copies there, et cetera, et cetera. So I was going to pick one up. So wherever I can. So
yeah, I would worry about doing it sooner than later.
Yeah.
Just because I think when that's gone, it's gone.
It's probably gone. I doubt they'll make any more of those. Yeah,
no, we haven't gotten any more shipments.
Yeah. If worse comes to worse, I'll grab it on Amazon. So,
Or you can just buy it digitally.
That's true. Could do that.
Just throw a fucking USB stick on the side of that thing to add more memory to it if you need it.
It's a good point. Good point.
And whatever. It's like not like you're getting rid of that thing. It's not like, oh, I'm going to lose this. Fuck, what does it matter?
It's a good point.
Oh, had an awesome guy at work come up to me, like a lot of people have been doing in the last couple of years at my job.
Sure.
Hand me a box of something and just say, my wife says I can't keep this anymore. Here.
Here. It's about that point where people are like, I'm moving on with my life, so...
Yeah. Guy gave me an awesome box of shit.
Yeah.
It had a... inside this box, there was a regular PS1.
Oh, okay.
The redesigned PS1.
The most worthless of consoles, but still.
But I don't actually own a physical one of either of
those. Oh, yeah? That's true.
So for my big collection of dumb shit collections, it's convenient.
Obviously.
So, and having that little one's cool. Maybe I'll find a screen somewhere.
That's cool to have a little one,
You get the little screen with it?
Yeah.
So I can take it with me?
Take it with you on point, you know.
I say that as a question.
You know, on plane trips.
The original Nintendo Switch.
Original Vita. Yeah,
there it is.
The original Vita.
Yeah, the PSP.5. it had both PS1s in it. It had a SNES, Genesis 2.
Nice.
A NES, a bunch of PlayStation accessories.
Wow.
A NES Advantage?
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And a whole shitload of corresponding cables.
Yeah.
And he was just like, here you go, man. I'm like, cool, I'll clean this shit up, put it in the collection, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Rock on.
So
he could have eBayed a few of those things for a little bit of something, but I guess, you know, it's easier just to throw it in a box and get rid of it, you know, so...
He didn't really care, and he knew that, like, I think more than anything, it wasn't about money. He doesn't need money. He just wants to make sure this goes someplace...
Right.
Where
exactly.
I know someone's going to appreciate.
Exactly. You'd be shocked at how many people just don't want the hassle of dealing with, like, oh, I guess I can get money for this. Like, for coins before 1925, or I think it's 1925, maybe a little bit earlier than that. For any quarter that's before that time frame, they're silver. Like, they're silver.
Yeah.
So they're literally worth way more than a quarter. And my brother will, like, tell customers, like, well, these are silver quarters. You can get a lot more. That's fine. Just give me what's... And it's like, okay. And then he'll buy those and take them to a pawn shop for, like, you know. Just like, you know, it's just amazing. That, like, people just don't care. Like, it's just like, yeah, whatever, here.
For me, like, what I've been thinking about doing with all of my systems that are redundant... is just cleaning them up incredibly well, and then sealing them in cellophane.
Right, yeah.
And then just, like, I've been thinking about putting shelves up all around here with just all the systems on it.
That'd be cool.
So that's kind of the thought process now. I figured that would look good on video.
Yeah.
But that's my conclusion.
Yeah.
Of what I've been fucking doing.
Boom! That's what's been up.
Oh, and I saw half of Logan.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Did you not... Only half of it, or
the projector broke.
Oh, that's a shame.
I got my money back though, and I was like, "It's probably for the best."
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
I didn't like it.
You weren't liking it, really?
No.
Interesting. Yeah.
Boring.
Really? I was enjoying it thoroughly. I enjoyed that movie thoroughly.
The thing: I think Hugh Jackman is the absolute perfect actor.
Yeah.
To play Wolverine,
right?
There will never be a better one.
Right.
I have never liked a single movie he's been in as Wolverine.
I like Days of Future Past. I like X2.
I haven't seen that one. I hate X2. I think X-Men 1 is a piece of garbage.
You like X3, though, amazingly.
It's just got a lot of that hot chick in it.
It does have a lot of Famke Jensen.
I mean...
It's got a lot of Famke Jensen, and that's okay.
Yeah. She can kill people with her thighs.
Well, anyway, that's it for all that. So let's get into our main deal.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about two games, but because one is technically a remake of another game.
It's true. It's true. So it's all basically the same thing. Blaster Master.
The 1988 Sunsoft Jam.
A little hidden gem on the NES.
I was doing some research on this the other day, and because I saw the name Tokai continually get referenced when people were talking about the Japanese version of this game, Chao Wakusei Senkai Metafight.
Right.
Which actually is the exact same game, except they just changed the graphical style a little bit for the U.S.
Sure.
Americanized it.
Baseball cap child, stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's actually, whenever people sit down and they look at Blaster Master Zero, the remake, the new game,
right,
which is basically just a remake of the other one, and then they look at Blaster Master from 1988, they say, oh, they changed the graphical style. No, if you play Metafight, that's what Blaster Master Zero looks like.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, like, everything's a little bit more Hatautome.
Hatautome. I don't know where you get that pronunciation of anime from, but...
No, it's how it's pronounced.
Is it?
I looked it up.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that.
I'm big into anime.
Okay, cool. That's the Osakan way to say it, I guess?
Yeah, like, you know, I've been watching a lot of Crunchyroll, so okay, I know what it's about.
Rock on. Hot Hautome.
cool. But yeah, so in 88, they brought Metafight to the U.S. as Blaster Master, made some changes to it. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about, whether you're talking Metafight or Blaster Master, the rest of the stuff after the beginning here, Blaster Master is Metafight. They're all in one. Other than some graphical treatments, same shit.
Right, same thing.
They basically brought over the awesome custom sound chip. That made that soundtrack sound so fucking ripping. And yeah, like they made a NES cartridge of that game for the American market. And it was kind of the first of this short string of Sunsoft games that were really kind of fucking cool.
Right.
Fuck what anybody says about Batman.
Oh, no, that game's all right. That game's awesome. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Really hard.
It's really tough. But it's a rewarding hard. It's not like an impossible hard.
Yeah, like Blaster Master.
Yeah,
if you can beat
you
that
can
game,
beat it. You just have to try.
Yeah.
And oh, dude, the animations in that game.
Yeah.
Wow. Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous.
And I'm sorry that people are upset that Batman had to be purple in that game, but he's been purple in other medium. Who gives a shit? That thing couldn't process many more colors than it was.
Yeah. Have you seen the figure? That's they released.
Oh,
yeah, they're, I forget the company that did it, but there's a bunch of there's a company.
I saw the Jason version.
Yeah, they made a Jason version. Their latest one's the Contra, and they're all like pixelated. But there's a Batman one that's purple, and he's all purple, just like that version. It's real good,
man. How expensive is that Jason?
It's pretty pricey.
Is it pretty pricey?
It's like $40-$50. It's pretty pricey.
All right, I was thinking it was going to be like hundreds of dollars.
It's not hundreds of dollars, no. It's like $50 for a figurine.
I'm always have to get me one.
Get the purple jumpsuit Jason.
I fucking like that fucking Jason. I'll buy it and wear my shirt that says "You and all your friends are dead."
You and all your friends are dead.
But yeah, so I was trying to explain Blaster Master to a coworker who's 19.
Right? Okay.
And I start trying to explain it. I'm like, oh, it's kind of like a Metroidvania, but it's also got these top-down sequences, and the guy's looking at me like I'm from fucking space. So I'm like, okay.
He's like, what's a Metroidvania?
Hang on.
Even that's before. Like a 19-year-old stuff.
I'm like, okay, so hang on. We got to stop here first.
Right.
Blaster Master is Grand Theft Auto before Grand Theft Auto was Grand Theft Auto.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're a man.
Right.
You have a truck.
Yeah, right.
You can get out of truck.
You can get out of truck.
So, yeah, basically, you're this dude named Jason, who's frog named Fred, runs away in the opening cinematic. Yeah, this game had an opening cinematic.
Opening cinematic.
You end up falling down a hole
trying to get your guidance shit right
Hell
there.
Yeah. Yeah, you fall down a hole trying to go chase after Fred. You end up finding a suit, and you find a truck.
Right.
Which is your vehicle.
Yes.
Sophia
the Third.
Yes, Sophia the Third. Which is a reference I pulled out of the back recesses of my brain.
It's very weird.
But yeah, so you, very beginning of this game, you'll notice a lot of things. Mm-hmm. The game is open world in structure, like the Metroid games of the era were, or Castlevania II, Simon's Quest.
Right.
You have these, in one big blocked world, you'll have 3 to 5 dungeons that you need to go into to defeat a boss or even just accomplish a task.
Right.
To get upgrades for Sophia or upgrades for your weaponry, things like grenades, missiles, lasers that shoot down, charge shots, all kinds of stuff to improve your arsenal.
Right.
And all the vehicle ones you have to get.
Yeah.
Because that is how you do the Metroid thing of shooting the missile to unlock the missile doors.
Right.
So to actually progress in Blaster Master, you have to get all the vehicle upgrades. It's not required that you get all the Jason upgrades.
Right.
I highly recommend you do that to expand your arsenal.
Yes.
But it's not required.
Right.
And basically that entire game is just these big, long, you know, contiguous worlds that are like, think of this game as, instead of being one big wide open world, think of it as like 7 stapled together big boxes.
Right. It's sort of like a hub world in a way. Is that accurate?
No, think of it this way. Think if you took a world from Mario.
Right.
You know, 1-1 through 1-4.
Right, 1-4, yeah.
And then had that be one box, and then once you do everything you have to do to beat 1-4,
right,
then it moves you to the next sandbox.
Right, gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
It's like Mario 3, let's say that. Grass world, desert world.
Yes.
Water world.
That works.
Yeah.
But in there, it's a fully interactive world with enemies and things that you can do, water that sucks.
Right.
the entire game has a... Did I go into the Tokai thing yet?
Really? No, I don't think so.
Okay, I meant to touch on this earlier, but I got kind of sidetracked with the description here.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's important is that you'll hear Tokai referenced as the development studio for this game.
Right.
That is not Vic Tokai. This is not the Golgo 13 people.
Oh, right, yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, if the same group of guys
did this at Golgo 13
made both of my fucking favorite NES games. Like, oh shit.
That's amazing.
I love Golgo 13.
Yeah.
Fuck anyone who doesn't like Golgo 13.
You ever seen the anime of Golgo 13?
No, I need to.
Yeah.
Apparently it's about taking sniper shots and fucking ladies.
Basically, yeah.
Yes!
It's real violent and real sexual. Like, it's basically all that.
Everybody have 80s hair?
Yeah. Everybody's got 80s hair.
I'm into that. Yeah. I like 80s anime hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Where everybody looks like they're wearing a mushroom.
Mm-hmm. And Golga's got the widow's peak.
Yeah.
The scar. Yeah. So I don't know if that's his actual name.
He'd shave butter on that widow's face.
But yeah, so yeah, not that one, but yeah. So
that's kind of a basic introduction to what the Blaster Master format is.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the launch of the Switch, they released Blaster Master Zero.
Right.
Still a Sunsoft joint.
Right.
Still the original director of Blaster Master.
Ooh, all right.
And that's probably why this game looks like Metafight.
Yeah, it does.
Despite the fact that Blaster Master in the U.S. was far more popular than Metafight ever was.
Right.
I guess it's worthwhile for us to mention that there was a Blaster Master 2.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Blaster Master Boy for the GBA.
Okay.
There was a Blaster Master Blasting Again for the PS1 Super Late Era. That was like 2001.
I had no idea that this was a full franchise.
And then there was a Blaster Master for the WiiWare that the name of that one is fucking slipping my mind.
Good question.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hold, please.
You're determined to know what that one is.
Hold, please.
But yeah, I'm impressed that it's actually like a franchise, because I only remember the NES game, like, and that's because I didn't own this one. A friend of mine owned it. I remember that seizure-inducing title screen.
Or like the seizure-inducing boss battles.
Yes.
The game did a lot of really cool things on the net. It was Blastermaster Overdrive that was for the WiiWare.
Overdrive.
Which is going to be a very interesting title because it was only ever released on WiiWare as a downloadable.
Right.
So whenever they take that WiiWare shop down, only the people who have it downloaded are the people that will ever own it.
Right, right, yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
The cool thing about the boss fights in that game is that in a lot of situations, like when you're fighting the brain guy, where they want to do a lot of like spectral effects and things like that on the character, what they would do is they would drop the background away from you.
Right.
And you'd just be fighting on a black background, like when you were fighting Ganon in Zelda 1 in the dark.
Right.
Or
the Godzilla boss fights in that terrible NES Godzilla game.
Yeah! So to manage the resources, basically what they had you do is you just kind of assumed... I always assumed in my mind that, like, you were just, like, blasting through space and shooting this guy.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But yeah, like, the boss battles in that, they did a really good job of calculatedly using the strengths of that system while managing its weaknesses at the same time.
Right.
The thing I will say maintains true in Blaster Master Zero. I even knew it back at the time when I played Blaster Master 1.
Right.
The top-down stuff is not great.
Not as good as the rest of it. It's the platforming with the tank, with Sophia the Third, is much more... it seems a lot better.
Yes.
I actually like the sections in which you get out of the tank.
But you're staying in 2D.
But you're still in the 2D version with the tank and everything before.
Yeah, you go once you go in mode. The structures.
Yeah, the top down mode is sort. It's just sort of dull. It's not much to do in those areas. You just sort of shoot stuff and get whatever the power up is, and But
the interesting thing with Blaster Master Zero, is that the game maintains all of the sprite pattern design aesthetics and a lot of the visual flair. But what they did was, it's like they didn't make a Switch version of Blaster Master Zero.
Right.
It's like they made Blaster Master for, like, the turbo graphics.
Right, yeah, it is, yeah.
Because you can tell, like, this hardware is more powerful because in segments where you're outside, like, there will be, like, a big glassed-over dome environment that's all cracked open and stuff, and it will be moving in rotoscope with you, so you get that 3D illusion effect that you got out of a lot of really good SNES games.
Yes.
Or a lot of really good Genesis games or TG-16 games.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were willing to, at the outset of that game, have the first level be so evocative of the original game, but then throughout the rest of the game restrict themselves to the hardware that made that first level. We can't exceed that.
Yeah, yeah.
They use that as their benchmark.
Yeah,
so they,
yeah. It's basically like, this is where we have to stay.
Yep.
To be true to
this.
What we're doing. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things that I really dislike is when somebody says, oh, we made an 8-bit game. And I'm like,
well,
this color palette's not 8-bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's this sound sample's not 8-bit.
Yeah, you made a game that mimics 8-bit, but nobody actually makes 8-bit anymore.
Well, what you made was a 16-bit game that looks like shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, just make a 16-bit game.
Right.
You know, or make something that could have been done on the Saturn, you know, where you get really high-res pixels and CD-quality sound, and you're not really chained to anything.
Right. There's very few instances in which going 8-bit like that works out in a favorable manner, and that's really when it's like the artistry is directly tied to the idea of making that feel, like Undertale. Mm-hmm. Undertale is very 8-bit. It's very it's very reminiscent of Earthbound or Mother 1, which is the Earthbound Zero, I think is what it was called here when it was ported technically, but not really. It was localized but never released. That's what it was. It was localized but never released, and then someone got a hold of the localization and
Are you saying Mother 1?
Mother 1, yes.
Was actually released on the Wii U.
Oh, okay.
You can buy that there now.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So yeah, because that that localization happened, and it was completely torrented for a while there. I didn't know that I was in the Wii U, though.
They finally ported that, I guess, about a year and a half ago.
That is crazy. It took
forever. So now you can play Earthbound and that. Still not Mother 3,
though. Still not Mother 3, though. Mother 3 is still out there. That was a weird game. Man, we can talk about the Mother series sometime on this thing.
Uh-huh. That'd
be interesting. Because that Mother 3 game, wow. Like, the stuff it went through to get made. But anyway, like, Undertale, very much in that frame of, like, it has to be 8-bit because that's what we're doing. And the whole style is still within that frame. And a lot of it, a lot of the boss battles kind of remind me of Master Blaster, too. Black background, white, mm-hmm. you know, white pixelated characterization of the boss. And, yeah, it's very, very, very reminiscent.
This one where they're using the benchmark of a 16-bit platform.
Right.
I don't know if they internally said SNES or TG-16 or Genesis or whatever.
Right.
But there's an amount of restraint that they showed.
Mm-hmm.
But because they gave themselves more vertical headspace to make this game,
right.
What they were able to do was to they have full backgrounds in their boss fights.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the things that you would associate with a 16-bit game.
Sure.
But I never at all felt while I was playing this game that I wasn't playing a spiritual successor to that 8-bit game.
Right.
Because they did one thing that I think was important. I was worried they were going to throw Red Book Audio in this thing.
Right. And just
and they didn't. They used a very NES-sounding sound chip
nice.
To make all of the audio for this game.
Nice.
And despite the fact that this game, it could sound like this on the TG-16, but sure. the fact that like the soundtrack is still the like
yeah.
it's what you want,
right? Yeah.
And but it's still it has an emotional response with me.
Yes, absolutely.
That,
yeah.
that I would want.
Would you call that nostalgia?
Yeah,
yeah.
And let's be fair. I'm not that weirdly nostalgic about anything.
No, not really anything. But I think you are about things that people don't appreciate as much.
I said this when we first started playing this, is that I genuinely believe that Blaster Master is one of the most influential games that everyone over fucking looks.
Yeah.
And nobody gives a shit about it. Because there's one portion of that game that a lot of other people did better later.
Right.
But I think if this doesn't exist, you don't get it.
Right.
You don't get Judas Priest if you didn't have the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Yeah.
You know, you may not like the Beatles.
Right. But
you have to respect that without this, doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. You don't get that. So.
Yeah, and you know, you can't have any pudding if you don't beat your mate.
It's true.
That's a Pink Floyd.
I
just wanted to
make it. It's not beat. I don't think it's beat.
Yeah, it's beat your mate.
I think it's beat.
That old man wanted me to masturbate.
I think he wanted to eat the meat. I think eat is the word he was using.
You can't eat my penis.
Well, there we go. You know what? Touche. You win this round.
I guess conceivably he could, but I'm not going to let him.
I'm not going to let him do that. That'd be terrible. Anyway.
But I don't have that much more to say on Blaster Master. I think that, you know, whether you've got a Wii or a fucking 3DS, those games are backwards compatible. Sunsoft, I really hope that they release this on something else other than the Switch.
Right.
I know that because this is such a nostalgia play that, like, you know, oh, we'll put it on the Nintendo platform, and Sunsoft usually only ever put shit on Nintendo platforms.
Yeah.
Put it at least on the PC. I'd like other people to be able to play this.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that there is a very good chance that even if you never played the original Blaster Master, given all the improvements and quality of life shit that they did to Blaster Master Zero,
right,
you should probably play it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really fun. Driving the truck is fucking awesome.
It's cool, and it's such a metal tank, too. It's just like,
yeah,
it can jump. It's like, remember when everybody like had a big problem with Batman's tumbler design for the Batmobile in the Nolan movies? And then people saw it in the movies and was like, that was pretty fucking rad.
Still don't like it, but I understand where it's coming from.
It's like jumping around and stuff and like shooting lights. Like, oh, it's pretty cool. It does things. It's not just, like, I prefer a hot rod Batmobile as well. I want like a hot, streamlined, like racing type car. But, you know, it's just like, but this thing's like, oh, it's got a practical use, jumps. And I was like, that's what the Sophia the Third's like. It's a jumpy tank.
Well, There are a lot of
crazy
things
all-terrain
in the with the tank itself
yeah.
that I think are fucking awesome.
Yes,
is that you can shoot in you know in 180 degrees.
Yep, all the tops.
Or you can shoot in 45s or 90s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you end up and whenever you in the new one they actually added if you hit the right trigger you shoot at 45 so you don't have to risk driving forward
oh,
and
nice.
Falling off.
Very nice.
Which is a nice quality of life thing given the fact that they have more than two goddamn buttons on this thing.
weird, right?
Appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
They made inventory management nice too, kind of in the same respect, just quality of life shit for switching through weapons.
Right.
But the other thing is that even the old game did this. There's an inertia to the way that it moves.
Yes.
And there's a visual response to when you jump, the wheels will, like, sag.
Yeah, they'll sag up. And, like, and that's the thing. It's, like, you can literally see, like, it's a really complicated little sprite, especially uh-huh. for NES. Because when you aim up, the whole thing stands upright.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes up on its wheels, and you're, like, taller. It's really interesting. You can even, like, duck with the tank. It goes, like, a little shorter. And it's awesome, just because it's such a complicated little sprite for an NES console. And
Digital Foundry did a little bit of a breakdown on how they actually made the tank,
really,
and how they basically got the tank and the level design,
really,
and the overworld shit,
yeah,
to run in duplicate and triplicate of itself.
Interesting.
So that like the wheels. You know they have that black line down the middle?
Right.
It's not a whole wheel. It's one half wheel replicated four times.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So that's how there's a big black center.
Yep. That's just the break between the sprites.
Wow, man. And it looks like a good little sprocket like center. Like
and the way that they tiled all the sprites, like the environmental, like the moss crawling down all the rocks and everything, always looks so much more detailed.
Right.
That's one, I think they said it was like a 5x5 sprite
right.
that's duplicated across the entire level. Wow. But because that one sprite is so detailed,
yeah,
it makes everything look so diverse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really fucking cool.
Kind of like Minecraft. Like, Minecraft has those little speckles and, like, everything, but...
This uses... You could actually say that the way that their sprite technology that they use to shade their boxes in Minecraft, every time I see it, I think, that kind of looks like Blaster Master.
Yeah. Well, Sunsoft, like, graphically, I don't think anybody can poo-poo them. Like, you can... again, like you said, like, the top-down's a little bit to be desired... For this game, it's probably why it doesn't get as remembered as well as it should.
I hear their name get thrown around with people like fucking Data East, and I'm like, you're out of your goddamn mind.
like negatively with Data East, or
Data East just... fucking sucked shit on the NES.
What did Data East do?
Bad dudes, shitty port, Karnov, shitty.
Oh yeah, Karnov. That was an awful port.
Yeah, like fucking. Data East games on the NES are goddamn terrible. and frankly, even most of the arcade versions of their games weren't that good. Other than that, Captain America and the Avengers, I can't move!
Thank you, Wonder Man.
Thank you, Wonder Man.
Wonder Man, gonna be played by Nathan Fillion in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, so... Yeah, happy about that. He'll probably be like a TV character. That's probably what's going to happen. But anyway.
That'd be okay.
That'd be all right.
Or you could just have him show up and just be Commander Quark from Ratchet and Clank.
That'd be okay.
All
right.
Just give him like more of a barrel chest.
He's like, oh, hello. So
he is his character from that Joss Whedon thing.
Yeah, yeah, Captain Hammer.
He's Captain Hammer.
He's Captain Hammer. Yeah, you're right. That'd be great. But anyway, Sunsoft, graphically, you cannot touch them for NES. Because it's probably my top NES graphic game in any graphics period. Batman is like top tier. It's beautiful. Batman
for me,
beautiful.
That's not Nintendo.
Yeah.
If you want to talk purely graphics, and then also games that can back it up from a gameplay perspective,
sure.
I think Sunsoft.
Yeah.
And Capcom and Konami are your three.
Oh, yeah. That's your three top. Yeah.
And with Konami, you also get Ultra games.
Yeah.
So you're getting, like, the TMNT arcade game.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting Metal Gear.
And it's sort of a different type of thing with it. Because Konami and Capcom, they do a great job of explicitly detailing something simple. You know what I mean? You can check every enemy in DuckTales, Mega Man, and they all look different. And diverse, but they're not complex in many ways. There's something about the fluidity of the animation of games like Blaster Master, games like Batman, that I don't understand how they accomplished it.
Above everyone else. One of the things that that they actually did from a pure technology standpoint of the like Blastmaster, the Sunsoft games,
right?
Batman really does this as well.
Yeah.
Is that you look at Batman,
yeah,
or you look at Blastmaster and you think, how are these venues this big?
Right. Yeah.
And I'll tell you how.
Yeah.
Capcom and Konami blew all their assets on big sprites.
Yeah, it's true.
Think how little that tank is on your screen.
It is very small.
So what they did was they made densely packed small characters.
Right.
So you could have more characters on screen at a time.
Right.
Because you're using less of the, I think it was 16 kilobytes is all the RAM that that thing had in it.
Wow.
So you're, you know, throwing around a couple extra 100 sprites is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think to fill a 4K screen, I think the last time I heard it was like 8.5 million or billion sprites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what limitations of the time will give you, you know, when you look at it. Because, man, I still would love... They ever done a Digital Foundry? They ever done one on Batman? For the NES?
They have not.
Because I would love to, like, do a little research and, like, understand how they got the fluidity of that sprite and the animation of that sprite. When he climbs on a wall and jumps, he just looks so cool!
Yeah.
He looks awesome! And, I don't know. It just...
Maybe we'll do a Batman episode sometime.
We should do a Batman episode sometime. Maybe a Mother series.
Yeah, I've sucked id's dick enough here that I think we can do some other companies.
Yeah, we can suck Sunsoft's dick a little bit, you know.
I think that, you know, there's something to be said, especially with that Capcom collection coming out here pretty soon of all those 8-bit games. So you're going to get the Chip and Dale's game.
Yes.
You're
yeah, oh, that's right. Dark I want to talk Dog. About that. I completely forgot. Yes.
So they're releasing that as a pack.
Yes.
I think when that comes out, I think...
We
did a DuckTales episode.
Yeah.
But
we could cover Rescue Rangers.
I would like... I've never played Rescue Rangers.
That's a good...
And I never played Darkwing Duck either.
I played a little bit of Darkwing Duck. Rescue Rangers was a solid game. We had that
and
game.
And DuckTales 2 is in that?
I didn't
even know that was a thing.
Yeah, DuckTales 2 is a thing. They were both latter era NES. DuckTales 2 and Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers 2, both secondary games. They're both like $800. It's insane. So, yeah. They're like hugely rare carts because they were late era, very limited run. It was like, I gotta get these things out of here and kill that system off because we gotta deal with this.
You know what I've been doing is I've been watching this series of videos. It's premium stuff, so you have to be a premium member on Giant Bomb.
Right on.
But they're doing the series called Blue Bombin, Alex is playing through all, was it, 8 of those games that it's in that that collection?
Nice.
And... Man, some of those games seem fuck hard, man. Yeah,
hard as fuck. The first one to this day, I have never beaten Mega Man 1.
Really?
Ever. I have beaten Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3, Mega Man 4, and 5. I've never beaten 6. I don't think I've ever played 7, 8. And I think I beat 9, but not 10 when they came out. But
I bought 9 and 10,
yeah.
And I don't even know why I bothered to buy 10, because I bought 9, and after like an hour, I was like, dude, fuck this. This looks
nine
like shit. It plays like shit.
9, I thought, played better than 10. 10, I felt like they kind of threw it together. 9 felt a little bit more put together to me.
And they were like, oh, we put Sprite Flicker in here. I'm like, why?
I forgot they put Sprite Flicker in. Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. Like,
why?
You can make it look like Mega Man, but you don't need to put Sprite Flicker in it.
No, do the Blaster Master Zero thing.
True.
Make your games...
make it look good.
Hey, I'm going to send a message out to all you video game developers that love to listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
I'm okay with you making a game look good.
Well, it's true. I mean, well, the DuckTales remake is literally just a... apart from the cinematics... It's literally just now, of course, they recreated all the assets, but it plays exactly the same. They even, like, when you jump off of a rope or a chain or something like that, or a ladder, like, you don't jump off of it, you fall off of it, which is an old, like, you would think, like, nowadays you would just be like, well, you jump now. But no, they decided, we're going to keep it to where you fall off, because that's how this... map is laid out, so, you know, it's interesting that way.
Props to them for trying with some stuff in that
yeah.
that DuckTales remake. I still...
it
Oof.
Yeah, it's
that voice acting.
The fact
I can't wait to play regular ass DuckTales again and be like, "This is the one, you guys." I'm gonna make a stand.
And make a stand.
I'm gonna make a controversial stand and say, oh, "Maybe that NES one's better.
Maybe that NES one, pretty good, pretty good that one." But yeah, there we go. I think that's it for this episode. We talked about Blaster Master. Talked about some Sunsoft. We might talk some more Sunsoft later on throughout the month or later on after that. I don't know. Maybe we'll get into Mother. Who knows? I'd love to talk about the Mother series and a series of games that I've never played, which I need to open up that Earthbound that it's on that Wii U. I need to open that up and play that. So
I think I know what game I want to talk about next week.
Do you?
I'm going to give you all some homework.
Okay.
We're going to jump to newer stuff,
mm-hmm.
Still older.
Right.
But it's a game that's been on my mind a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you all to do some research on Far Cry 2.
Oh, the Far Cry 2. The deuce. I'm the crying.
Give you a little bit of... That's not a CryEngine
game. That's not a CryEngine game?
Because after Far Cry 1, Crytek left.
That's right,
this
Crytek
is the first
left.
Ubisoft
That's the first one. Ubisoft one.
One where you're in Africa.
Right.
You have malaria.
Okay.
And, fuck, this is the laziest way to say this, but I'm tired. It's been a long day. It's kind of like the Dark Souls of first-person shooters.
It's kind of like the Dark Souls.
Yeah, you hear me almost throw up in my mouth when I said that. But the reason I say that is that game is so fucking punishingly hard.
Right.
In so many goddamn ways. But I loved it.
Right.
All
right,
so at the very beginning, you get fucked up guns that are rusted. They
right.
jam all the time. You have to manually unjam these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever you get shot, you get shrapnel in your arm. You have to sit there and manually pull a fucking bullet out of your arm and then wrap yourself back up.
Jesus.
And that still doesn't heal you. It just stops you from dying.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and, like, there's all these enemy, kind of road stop inspection points.
Right.
And you'll show up there and, you know, fucking fight all these guys and blow shit up and everything. And then the next time you come back, they're fucking there again. You know why? Because if all the guys from this base were gone, they would send more dudes. And it makes sense. Like, in the
right.
gameplay sense, you're used to, like, oh, I conquered that. I am a conqueror.
Right, yeah.
But no, like...
like Metal Gear 5.
They're gonna realize nobody's fucking there.
Like Metal Gear 5, where you fault an entire base to
yeah.
your base. Like, everybody's just kind of like, well, that base is gone.
Some of the reactions you'll hear from guys, like, he's lifting the boat into the sky. So that sounds really good.
It's pretty good. But yeah, no... Far Cry 2. All right, well, we might talk about that.
And sometime in the next few weeks, I would like to do Metal Gear 1. Not
okay.
Metal Gear Solid.
Original 1.
Metal Gear.
For NES.
The MSX.
Oh, for the MSX. Okay,
NES one's similar enough
yeah.
where if you've played that one, you'll be ready for the conversation.
Sure.
But we'll talk a little bit about the differences.
Yes.
When we started talking about Sunsoft and then I thought about Konami, I'm like, we really need to do a Metal Gear game.
All right, so we might be talking about Far Cry 2, might be talking about some Metal Gear 1.
Yeah, this week I'll see which one I want to sit down with the most. It'll be that one, and then the following week it'll be the other one.
Yes. All right, cool. But I think that's it.
Oh, I forgot one thing.
Sure, go ahead.
In the What You've Been Playing section.
Yes.
I played like 15 hours in Nier Automata.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Really? All right.
Let's
talk about that next week, then.
And also, you know what we'll be talking about next week?
Yeah.
Unless we record before then. If we record before WrestleMania, we won't be talking about this. It kind of depends on what our recording schedule is like.
Sure.
Persona comes out Tuesday.
That's right. Persona comes out Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, my God!
I switched our Twitter handle to the picture.
It has a 95 on Metacritic.
Sounds pretty good.
I'm so excited.
Oh, the black and red. Mwah. Might change our site colors.
I'd be all right.
Yeah. No. We're
right now, we're still rocking that black and yellow.
Got
black
that black
and
yellow. A little bit of orange. A little bit of orange. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. There we go.
We can call it here.
I think we can call it here. That's it for this episode of the Video Store Podcast.
Persona!
Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on iTunes. Got a new logo up on the iTunes channel.
I I don't like to blow a lot of smoke up your ass.
Thank you.
That's the best logo you've ever made.
Thank you very much.
That's a really good fucking logo.
I wanted to go real 80s with it, because we're going to start doing that vaporwave nonsense. It might be at the beginning of this one, so I want to go a little bit of 80s on that one. So
it should be good. Dude, you... you touched me with that logo.
A little bit of touching right there. That's good.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Good to know. Awesome. I love smoke. Anyway, check us out on Twitter, at VideoDestruct. You can follow us on Twitter,
at Hoss_buddy. I talk to a lot of wrestlers.
You do?
I've been tweeting a lot of good video game deals here lately.
Yeah.
It's
good stuff.
Man.
Follow him on Twitter. It's a good time. It's basically the
WrestleMania's on Sunday?
WrestleMania's Sunday. The majority of our marketing, I think, comes from your Twitter account. it's hard to market a video game-based thing. But thanks to everybody who's listening. We've had an enormous jump in listeners this month.
I'm really, I'm
weirded out by it.
I'm unbelievably grateful.
Yeah, I know.
Like, the idea that, like, if even 20 people listen to this thing, I'm like, sweet!
20 people listen!
That's 20 conversations I don't have to have with people I know!
Right, and that's kind of like what we get per episode. It's about 20 people. And then this one, it was like, oh, we had like 400 downloads this month. And I was like, really? Real weird. I don't know. So thank you guys.
I'm excited. And do us a favor, man. If you follow at Video Destructor, follow me on Twitter. Follow us both.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever we put out the new podcast episode notifications or articles we put up on the site, just, you know, give it a retweet, man. It actually genuinely, for a site as small as us, it means more than you can possibly understand.
Yeah, because we just do this for fun. We don't, like...
And we're doing it for shits and gigs, and we're actually talking about buying really nice recording equipment right now.
Yeah.
On a site that we'll probably never make a dime off of. So, like, we do this simply out of love.
Yeah, we love doing it. So thank you guys for listening. It's been a great time. That's it for this week. We are out of time. We gotta go.
WrestleMania 7 hours.
WrestleMania 7 hours, baby. Woo!